Yes? Amen? You believe it? Good. Good. Well, some of the things have already been said today, so that's good. I want to just share some thoughts with you on the power of your thinking. The power of your thoughts. The power of your thinking. The power of your thinking of what you speak, because what you speak is what you are thinking normally. Is that not true? Oh, hallelujah. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. I think at some stage, Daniel, I'll probably use one of the scriptures as one of our confessions today, that towards the end of the service we'll have it up on screen, and we'll speak out the word of God, declare the word of God to principalities, to powers, and before the very throne room of God. Amen. Because that's what we need to do. We need to declare the word of God. You see, the word of God is in our mouth, and when the word of God is in our mouth, it is powerful. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we just bring, Lord, this word before you. We just bring our lives before you. Father, we just ask, Lord, you would open our ears to receive, open our spirits, O God, to receive your word. And Lord, we pray that your word would just be quickened in us, in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, let it be a quickening word. Lord, let us cause us to rise up and to declare the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. For as he thinks within himself, so he is. As a man thinks, as a woman thinks, that's who you are. You'll act like a thief. If you think you're poor, you'll act like you're poor. And there are people who are very rich who think they're poor. They hold things back, and you know, they... But you see, they're rich in the things of this world, but in their spirit, they're poor. You see, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, if you've got God inside, then you begin to speak out of the abundance of heaven. Oh, hallelujah. I'm blessed. Are you blessed? A nod's not good enough, right? You know, on my lips is what the word needs to be. Not nodding to it. Donkeys nod. You know? People speak, you see. There is power in your words. You know, Jesus said to the blind, see. And what did what happened? He saw. Jesus didn't stand there thinking, oh. Jesus didn't nod. He says, as your confession is, let it be. God, in the beginning, when in Genesis, he said, let it be. So be it. The word was spoken and God said, let it be. Let it happen. So, your thought patterns, my thought patterns, will change your destiny. You had a change of thought patterns some years back. It changed your destiny. Hallelujah. What a better road. Eh? What a better road. Glory to God. You see, when God gets hold of your thought patterns, When God gets hold of you and He begins to place His thought patterns into you, He changes your direction. He begins to establish the future that He created you for. Hallelujah. Just think about that for a moment. God created you for a specific journey with a specific future. God has planned your destiny. You have a choice. Get on board. Get on board and enjoy the ride. Or travel another journey and miss God's best. Miss God's mark for your life. Miss God's precious blessings for you. Miss your destiny. I don't want to miss my destiny. Oh, there'll be some bumps in the road. There'll be some trial, some difficulties, some tribulation. But the Bible says tribulation works patience. Lord, I've got enough patience now. Thank you, Lord. I don't need any more tribulation. How many of us would pray that prayer? Lord, don't give me any more tribulation. I've got bags of patience. Sometimes patience just wears a tad thin, have you noticed? And you just lose it. But sometimes God says you need a little bit more tribulation because I'm working a process on you. You have to remember, for each and every one of us, we should have a little sticker. Work in progress. God is working on me. Is He working on you? And what works on us is the Word of God. Our thought patterns need to change. You see, your thought pattern can imprison you. Fear can make you a prisoner. Fear of man, fear of outside spaces, open spaces, fear. Fear of the dark. Even fear of the future. Fear of change. Oh, don't let anything change. Let's keep it all the same. Then I'm secure. No. Never grow. Never grow. A couple of years ago, we were in Italy. And we went and called in, for some reason, I don't know why, we called in at this garden centre. Oh, I do. We'd been walking through the streets in Italy. And there was this beautiful aroma. And it wasn't a pizza. It wasn't spaghetti bolognese. You know, but it was like, what is that? And there was this plant in the windowsills and by the side of the road, with these little white flowers, and its name is jasmine, and it smells wonderful on an evening. The scent of jasmine is so beautiful. So we decided we'll go to a garden centre and we would buy a jasmine plant. And we did. We managed to. It was quite tall, wasn't it, but not very bushy. And we bought this jasmine plant and we brought it all the way home from Italy. And all the way in the car you could smell jasmine. It was there. Its perfume was just flowing out and flowing out. Well, it's two years now, isn't it? The plant's this wide. It's about 3 foot wide. It stands about 3 foot high. And it's full of hundreds and hundreds of flowers. And it's just outside my office doorway, and I just, on an evening, I can open the office doorway and then the wind begins to just, and the aroma, and it's so beautiful, and it gives wonderful thoughts. But you see, it was in a small pot when we brought it, We gave it some more room. And suddenly, it's come out. And it's using the space. And it's filling the space. And it's creating an environment around it that is so beautiful that you want to go and stand there and be in the presence of this plant. You know, the Bible talks of Jesus being the lily of the valley. Have you ever smelt lily of the valley? It's so beautiful and refreshing and such a fragrance. You want to be around it. He's often called the Rose of Sharon, and you find roses and they smell beautiful. You want to have them around you. The Word of God changes your thinking. The Word of God will change your environment. The Word of God will change you and your attitude towards the environment. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Fix your eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. For who the joy that set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. This is Jesus. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. Let him begin to minister into your lives. I'm reading from Hebrews. I'll try again, shall I? Okay. It's Romans. You need to be in Romans, and I need to be in Romans together. It's my turn now. It's 46 years of married life, you see. It's having a real effect on me also. It's spreading, obviously. Oh, glory to Jesus. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. That's the one. I was reading and thinking, that's not what I wanted to preach on, actually. He is the author and finisher of our faith, and maybe that's where we'll get to at the end of all of this. But before we get to that, we have to realize that you and I, it says, do not be conformed to this world. Don't be like the world. Don't think like the world. Right? Don't think like the world. But be transformed. Be changed. Renewed in your mind. Come on, mind. Catch up with the Spirit. Be renewed in your mind that you may prove what the will of God is, and that which is good and acceptable and perfect. We need to prove what the will of God is. How do we do it? We take the Word of God and we begin to speak the Word of God out, and let the Word of God begin to bring action. Today, Edwin and I just prayed for his dear wife, Sylvia. Yeah. And Edwin said, you know, when we finish praying, it'll be done. It'll be done. It's okay. Yeah. Do you know why he said that? He said that because he believes there is power in the Word of God. He believes there's power in the prayers together that we speak out. He believes that God changes things and God causes things to move mightily. Amen. You know, you and I need to be a people that is being transformed. Instead of being a caterpillar, You need to be a butterfly. You need to be a butterfly, not a caterpillar. None of us really like caterpillars, do we? We see them and you see, ooh, and they eat all the leaves, and yet the butterflies dance around. And you, yesterday we were chasing butterflies with the camera, trying to wait for it to settle, and just as you got to it, off it flew again. You couldn't hear it lift, you couldn't hear it settle. But when you see the beauty, when you see the transforming power of creation at work, and God says, I want to change you. I want to transform you. I want to change you. You see, God is a God of change. I know we quote that scripture, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is. He's already perfect. But he's changing you and me, bringing us to a place of perfection in God. Look at the person next to you for a moment. And just look at them. And realize and say to them, you're perfect. Yeah, you're perfect. You see, because of the blood of Jesus, because of that very blood of Jesus, you are perfect. Now you might say, well, if you really knew me. But you see, God knows you. And God has seen the work of Jesus. And so God is looking down the corridors of time where you will be. And he says, you are perfect. Because he sees you in your final shape, your final destiny. But we have to journey the journey. We have to journey the journey. We have to start taking this word of God and begin to eat it. Not physically eat it, but speak it out. Proclaim it. Declare it. When you're sick, Jesus says, he died for all my sicknesses, for all my diseases. And so you begin to say, Lord, I don't feel well. But your promise is that you healed me. On the cross, 2,000 years ago, Lord Jesus, you healed me. And so, Lord, now I call in your provision of healing into my life. I declare that I am the healed and not the sick. I am healed and not sick. And you begin to declare that over your life. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 55. And verse 8, 9, Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. God has made a statement. What you think is not what God thinks. Wow. But I thought, I'm a Christian. Yeah. I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Yes. But I'm in process. I haven't arrived at the end of the journey. You see, sometimes you and I get a thought. A wrong thought. Anybody have a wrong thought this week? Hmm? Oh, alright, Charles, we don't need too many hands up. Two hands. How many times you put in them up, you know? I know, but it's true, isn't it? You can be sat there doing absolutely nothing, yeah? And all of a sudden, ding! Where did that come from? A wrong thought. It came from the pit. It came from the devil. He's trying to tease you. He's trying to draw you out. He's trying to pull you down. You see, what you have to realize is that your thinking is very powerful. And you see, over the years, our thinking, our brain has wave patterns that have been set into our minds. And we think a certain way. It's like the path of the river. The river might dry up a little bit, but it's there. And it's there for those thoughts to flood down. And we have to begin to change that thought pattern. I don't know about you, but when you drive a car, you can be going to a destination. I know it's happened to me in the past. I've been driving along and then suddenly arrived at my destination and realized that I don't remember the last few miles that I just drove. It's like, what happened in the... I heard that. See me in my room later, boy. And you suddenly think, it used to happen to me when I was younger, by the way, as well. All right, just to clear this up. And suddenly you arrive at the place and you think, I don't remember the part of the journey. What happened? Did I fall asleep? You know? But you got there. I remember once we were looking at buying a house somewhere. And in the end we changed our mind and we bought a house somewhere else. And I remember some months later coming home from work to go to the new house. And all of a sudden, I turned down this other main road and was heading towards the house we were looking at. And I drove maybe half a mile down the road and suddenly went, what are you doing down here? I'm like, what? What just happened to me? It's a thought pattern. And you see, the Bible says you to take control of every thought. Now that's just a small thing. But you see, the devil, there are thought patterns in people's lives. To steal, to kill, to be an alcoholic, to be a drug addict. And these things begin to be formed in people's minds so strong. Yeah, they become entrenched. They become a trench. They become a gorge that directs everything down that pathway. Suddenly, a wicked thought comes into your mind and you think, whoa, where, what happened? Where did that come from? And the Bible says, take captive. Take captive every thought. Well, why do I need to take captive every thought? Because you will get some wrong thinking that creeps up on you, grabs hold of you. You know what my friend said to me the other day? Oh, I'd love to punch him in the nose, you know. And you have to deal with that thought pattern. You have to stop it. And I know young people and even older people do it. Oh, do you know what so-and-so said to me and did to me? I could kill him. Whoa, you've never said that, have you? No, I didn't. I have. I'll be honest, I have. I'm going to be brutally honest with you. Many, many, many years ago, and I can go many, many years, you know. But I remember I was working at a company, and the managing director's son-in-law was an awful, awful, awful man. Nobody liked him. His nickname was the Smiling Assassin. That was his nickname. He'd smile at you and he'd stab you at the same time. He was an unscrupulous man, an awful person. And occasionally, I would have a wicked thought, because he had done so much, he had hurt so many people through his time there. He'd never managed to hurt me, but I didn't like him. Yeah, God was protecting me. But I'll be honest with you, I knew the way he drove to work. And I don't know if you've ever heard that story about a young girl, a young Irish girl who rings up a demolition company and says, "Are you the demolition man?" He says, "We are." He says, "Could you knock down my school? Could you knock down my school with all the teachers in?" "Yeah." "Because I don't like them. So could you could you blow it up while the teachers are in it?" Well, I must admit, I was a little bit like that girl. If I'd have known Charles a few years ago, I'd have been saying to Charles, "Now, Charles, I know that you probably have got contacts with people who've got mortar launchers or rocket launchers. And this guy drives down this motorway every day, round about this sort of time. I need a hitman just to take him out." And Charles might have said, "Oh yeah," you know, prior his Christian life would have said, "Oh yeah, I can find you somebody, you know." It's gone. Hallelujah. Praise God. Prior to, you know. You see, that was a thought. I have a choice, haven't I now? I could attempt to carry out that thought, or I could take it captive and take authority over it and say it's a wrong thought. And it'll get me into serious trouble, and God and the devil will try and destroy me through it. And so we have to begin to take thought, every captivity of that thought, and just begin to hold it down and begin to apply the word of God to it and begin to change our thinking. You know, in Isaiah there, it goes on to say in Isaiah 55, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways." He says, in other words, I take a different route to you. I'm taking you on a different journey that the devil wants you to go. I'm taking you through a different pathway. I'm creating a new pathway. You see, the old mind has old pathways that bring us to destruction, that will cause us to be destroyed. And so he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, for my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And for as the rain and the snow comes down from heaven and does not return without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout, the furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." Oh, that is fabulous. But you know, when we speak the word of God out, it has now begun its journey. It has begun the journey to change things. It has begun the journey to establish the kingdom of God on the earth. It has begun the journey to see success on your behalf and my behalf and for the kingdom of God. So that's what the word of God should be doing for us as we begin to speak it and we begin to share it with others. You know, the great minister Smith Wigglesworth, tremendous prophet, tremendous healing ministry, raised the dead, saw blind eyes open, deaf ears unstopped, mighty miracle worker in the early 1900s. And one thing he said was this. He said, "If we want to be like Jesus, then first we need to think like Jesus. Oh boy. If we want to be like Jesus, then we need to think like Jesus. Wow. Would you agree? If we want to be like Jesus, we need to think like Jesus. We need to think like Jesus. To be like Jesus, we need to think like Him. He believed, he thought, and knew he could raise the dead. He believed and knew he could open blind eyes. He believed that he could stand on the front of the boat and speak to the winds and the waves and say, "Be still," and they would obey. We need to begin to think like the Lord Jesus and begin to speak like the Lord Jesus. You see, the Bible says when you ask the Lord Jesus into your life, He comes in. So where is Christ right now? He's in me. He's in you. Where is Christ? Say, He's in me. He's in me. Christ is in me. Say it together. Christ is in me. And again, Christ is in me. And when we begin to confess that, the devil says, "Whoa, whoa, 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 wait." He says, "What about me?" When you have Jesus in you, there's no room for the devil. Christ in me. That's what the Word of God intends. And how do we get more of Jesus into us? We read the Word of God. And we read the Word of God and we pray the Word of God and we speak the Word of God. And as we speak the Word of God, it empowers us. It makes new thought patterns. It creates new thinking. It creates new thinking. Glory to Jesus. I'm having a tough time today. Somebody's trying to attack my thinking. So we need to create new thought patterns. You see, the Bible says, as a man thinks, so he is, as we started off. And we have to begin to allow the Word of God to change my thinking. I'm not poor. Jesus was not poor. God's not broke. There's an abundance in heaven that God is waiting to give to you. The Bible says this, you have not, because you haven't asked. Now when you're at home and you want something, you go to your mum and dad and say, "Mum, Dad, can I have a new coat?" And they say, "Of course you can." And then you get one. But you don't get one unless you ask. We have to learn to ask of our Father, and we have to learn to speak the Word of God out. To Turn to Romans. We'll try Romans again. Not Hebrews, Romans. Romans chapter 10. You and I need to believe this word. We need to have this thought pattern, this word creating thought patterns. We need to believe it. Because when we believe it, we shall receive from it. Believe it and you will receive from it. So let's look at verse 17. So faith comes from hearing. Did you hear that? Faith comes from hearing. Hello? What do you hear? What do you hear? And if you're not careful, you hear all the noise of the world striving for your attention, bringing fear. You see, fear is the biggest tool that the devil has. Because fear will paralyze you from moving. It will stop you from doing anything. It will stop you from being the person that God intends you to be. That's what fear does. And that's why in the Bible, over 365 times it says, "Fear not." Don't be afraid. Say this after me. I am not afraid. I am not afraid. And again, it's not loud enough. I am not afraid. Good on you, Michelle. We're not afraid. When we have the Word of God in our lives, the Word of God said that God said He would never leave us. He would always be with us. He would always be by our side. Never, never to leave us. Always there to protect us, to keep us safe, to cover us. The Bible talks of being under the wings of God, being covered. That's about protection. God's there with His wings over you, protecting. The angels are there protecting you. And then we say, but what if He leaves? What will happen to me? He's not going to leave you. He's there to protect you. Our thought patterns need to change. Our thinking needs to change. Oh, I'm afraid of what might happen. No. Fear not. Be of good courage. Come on. You know, these are the words that we need to speak. You know, I was a timid person as a teenager. And in my early 20s, I was fairly timid. I went to university. And being truthful, I really did not enjoy living away from home, being at university. You think, ooh, you. But now you're always wanting to travel. It's like, but I did not enjoy being away. Because in the back of my mind, there was a timidity. There were pathways in my thinking that would hold me back. And God gave me some scriptures. I think we talked about this the other day. Turn to Joshua. It's not even in my notes, but it's just come that the Lord just reminded me of this. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 6. A Right? When I was feeling timid, when I was feeling fragile, when I was feeling a little hopeless and helpless, I would go to my room and I would begin to read this. Only be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and courageous. And then in verse 7 he goes on to say, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law of Moses which my servant commanded you to do. What is he saying? Obey the book. Obey the word. Trust the word of God. Let the word of God be your strength. Take hold of it and be strong. Be courageous. And you say, well, I'm shy. I'm timid. So was I. But when we take the word of God and we begin to speak it out, say, be strong. Nia, be strong. Sydney, be courageous. Only be strong and courageous. Very courageous. Very courageous, right? Tryes. Yeah, that's wonderful. Yes, absolutely. Very good. Yes, that's the right word. Yes, yes. Only be strong and very courageous. God has a destiny. God has a purpose. And so the process has to go on in us. He's preparing you for the journey. He's preparing you as you walk that pathway with God, so that He will take you on your journey, that you will fulfill everything that God has for you. As you lay hands on the sick and see people healed, as you pray for souls and they come to Christ and receive Christ, ask the Lord Jesus into their lives and He becomes their Lord and Saviour. So important. You know, Joshua had to lead over 2 million people into the Promised Land. 2 million. And these 2 million people were a bit rebellious, were a bit stiff-necked, were a little bit awkward. Sometimes with a bit of an irritation. Even Moses at one time wanted to. In fact, God got to a point where He was going to wipe them out. But Jesus has come. And it's not wipe out anymore. Apart from wipe away all our sins. Wipe away all our iniquities. Wipe away all our rebellion, all our unrighteousness. Wipe it all away through the blood of Jesus. Start afresh in you. Behold, I do a new thing, the word of God says. Behold, it shall come quickly. It's not going to tarry. It's coming quickly for us, because time is short and God wants to do a new thing in you and in me. And so we have to begin to press in. And verse 9 in Joshua says, have I not commanded you? Do you know what it is for a command? It's an order. It's an order. I'm commanding you. I'm commanding you. Be strong. Be strong. Be courageous. Do not tremble. Oh. Yeah. Don't be afraid. Yeah. Don't be sad and downcast and dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you. We used to sing a chorus, be bold, be strong. For the Lord our God is with you. Be bold, be strong. For the Lord our God is with you. I am not afraid. No, no, no. I am not dismayed. No, no, no. For the Lord our God is with you. We used to sing, we're not afraid of the devil. The devil's afraid of us. Amen. You're bigger than the devil. Hallelujah. You're bigger than the devil. Tell him, I'm bigger than the devil. Go on, tell somebody, I'm bigger than the devil. I'm bigger than the devil. Hallelujah. I've got God in me. I'm bigger than the devil. Come on, devil, bring it on, Hallelujah. Come on. Now, with the word of God, we'll beat the living daylights out of the devil. The Bible says, get him underneath your feet. Stand on him. Get down. Hallelujah. Be bold. Be strong. For the Lord our God is with you. Be bold. Be strong. For the Lord our God is with you. I am not afraid. No, no, no. I am not dismayed. No, no, no. For the Lord our God is with you. Come on, be bold in Jesus' name. Shout it. Scare the devil with a shout even. Just, whoa, what's that authority? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bet you're glad you weren't sat there, aren't you? Don't worry about that. Glory to Jesus. This is our God, He never leaves us, never forsakes us. Proverbs 18 and verse 21. He says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. We can speak death to principalities and powers from the Word of God. We can speak life to lost souls. We can speak life of healing into people's body. We can speak into the grave and see the dead be raised. But it's not being afraid. It's knowing that this Word of God is in me. I've eaten the Word. I've partaken of Jesus. And the very life-giving force of Christ is in me. And the world needs it. The world needs you. Just like they need Jesus, because you're made in His image. You look like Jesus. Amen. Because of what is in you. As we look like the living Lord, when the devil sees you, he sees Jesus and he's afraid. And you have to come to that place where you're no longer English. You're no longer Nepalese. and say, "Oh, we need to be very quiet and reserved." No. Be bold. Yes. Louder. Come. Be bold. And again. And again. And again. Louder. Louder. Come on. Glory to God. This is my cheerleader today. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Amen.
Be bold.
Be bold. Be bold. Hallelujah. Now we've got them. We've got them going now. Yeah, get them going. Come on. Hallelujah. You see, you need to be going for it. We need to be going, saying, we're bold. We're strong. Hallelujah. In Jesus Christ, His strength in me. Amen. Be strong. There's life and death is in this tongue. We said right at the beginning, Jesus spoke the word and brought life. When Jesus speaks the word, when you speak the word, are you speaking life or are you speaking death? Are you speaking truth and goodness? We need to speak into this area where we live the power of God. We need to speak out the word of God and say, this house will be blessed in the name of Jesus. These people will receive Christ in the name of Jesus. These people are going to ask for help in Jesus' name. These people are going to get saved. These people are going to get healed. These people are going to be finding Christ as their Lord and Savior. This area is going to change because I'm talking about the Word. I'm speaking the Word. I'm praying the Word. And as we do that, we will see lives change today and tomorrow and into eternity. Philippians chapter 4. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Chapter 4 and verse 8. There's life in this tongue. There's power in this tongue. Jesus said, only speak the word. On the confession of your faith. It's not on the confession of the faith of God, it's on the confession of your faith. God already knows what He believes. Jesus already knows what He believes. He's waiting for you to confess and declare the Word of God. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 says, Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, let your mind think on these things. Slight alteration in translation, but it's what it means. Let your mind think on the good things of God. Let your mind focus on Jesus. Let your mind focus on this word. Don't focus on the TV and on the news and what they're saying. Focus on Jesus. He says He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one who's going to keep us and direct us. And when fear comes to attack, you say, you have no place here. Because the God of peace lives in me. God of peace, Jesus, lives in me. And the moment you do that, fear goes, oh, I'll go somewhere else. And fear disappears. There's no room for fear. God never made room for fear in the kingdom. He just made room for faith. And for His love to just blossom into our lives and begin to change us. And begin to set us free. So think on these things. Think on these good things. You see, if we're not careful, fear will fashion our future. Grace and I visited some friends who used to live nearby us, well, next door actually. And he admitted that when they sold the house and that and moved away, he made a mistake and should have kept the house. But it was fear that made him sell the house. Fear that he couldn't keep it, fear that he couldn't afford it. And yet he says now, I made a mistake. But it was fear that made that decision for him. And you know, you and I need to realize sometimes if we allow fear to rule us, we will make wrong decisions. When I left industry and began to work full time for the Lord, people who weren't walking in faith said to me, out of fear you're making a mistake. Out of fear they were saying you'll never survive. You'll have to go back to work, you'll have to do this, you'll have to do that. You'll never be able to do this again if you carry on like that. And so they had all these negatives. But yet, you know, God had given Grace and I a promise. That He would never leave us, He would never forsake us. He'd given us a promise that He would keep us. Do you know something? God is a keeper and a keeper of His promises. God is a keeper and He keeps His promises. God is faithful and He's full of faith. But God is a keeper of promises that He gives. And if God has given you a promise, then remember God is the keeper of the promise. And start to believe for it. Start to pray for it. Start to thank God for the promise. Start to praise God. And as you praise God, you'll see the promises being fulfilled. He's a keeper of every promise. Don't worry. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. In other words, don't worry. That's easier said than done, isn't it? When the world continually tries to put worry on you, Mary, you need to worry. No, you don't. Well, you're not being... People say, well, if you're not worrying, you don't care for people. No, that's rubbish. I don't worry. We don't worry because we know God is in control. God is in control. And whoever's around us, if they think they're in control, they've made a mistake. God is in control. Amen. He's organizing things. He's got everything set out. And we just walk in it. Thank you, Lord, for today. Oh, wonderful blessings for today. Tomorrow, great blessings. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for tomorrow's blessings. The day after, even greater blessings. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of today. Amen. And we walk in these blessings. We walk in the presence of God as we put Jesus first. Putting Him first. A university professor, doctor, said this: people who worry die sooner than people that don't worry. He said, and we don't know why. Amazing. The medical science does not understand the wherewithal and the whys and the hows and whatever else you want to add to it, how that people who worry die before people who don't worry. They have no idea. We're wired to our brain and our soul to live life by faith and not by fear. That's how we were created. We were created and wired by God to live by faith, not by fear. That's how God intends you to live. And the moment that we begin to live in an alternative direction, we begin to lose the ability in life. We lose the blessings of life. God made you. Yeah. God made you to live by faith. I've already said, it says in the, at least in the Bible, fear not, don't doubt, don't fear, you know, don't be discouraged, just keep moving on with God. You know, there are stories in the Bible when Gideon looked at all those men and said, we're never going to beat them. There's only 300 of us. But God said, we'll do it. And that battle was won. And so we need to realize, we need to let faith arise and let the enemies of faith be scattered. Let faith arise and let the enemies be scattered. We've been given faith to live by. When we came to Christ, Christ gave you faith. Faith to believe that you were saved. Faith to believe that you're healed. Faith to believe that you're delivered. Faith to believe that you have eternal life in Christ Jesus. Faith to know that God will never ever leave you and forsake you. We need to walk in faith. We need to speak the word of faith. We need to let our thought patterns be changed by the word of God. Because there is power in our thoughts. As a man thinketh, so he is. As a woman thinks, so she is. You know, if a woman thinks she's a prostitute, she'll be a prostitute. If a man thinks he's an alcoholic, he'll be an alcoholic. And when you talk to them, they'll say, I've always been like this. They haven't. But they suddenly say, I've always been like this. I'll never be able to change. No, because their thought patterns, they're captive to their thought life. Yeah. We need to be captive to Jesus. To the very thought life of Jesus. If you want to be like Jesus, then you need to think like Jesus. And the only way you're going to think like Jesus is when you start spending time in the Word and letting the Word change you. When you start and we come together and we talk about these things together and talk about, this is what God has said to me, this is what God has been doing in my life, and we encourage one another with the Word of God. We've been given enough faith to bring the kingdom of God onto this earth, into this earth, to change the destiny of our nations. You know, I was talking to somebody today, and we were speaking about the royal family. And he was telling me that the Queen Mother, some years ago, she's dead now, bless her, but the Queen Mother came to faith in Jesus Christ. And some years later, our Queen, Queen Elizabeth, came to the same faith as her mother. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there are people in power. Our Prime Minister, we may not agree with all the decisions that are made. We may not agree with the party that she represents, but she has a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need our nation to walk the pathway of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, God has appointed this nation for a future, for a destiny, and we need to be outside a Europe that is anti-God. France is anti-God. Germany is anti-God. There are spirits that rule over those nations that are anti-God. And this nation of England needs to be back to the presence and the power of God. And God will cause this nation to be great again. Because we exalt the name of Jesus. We exalt our God. And we give Him praise. And we operate out of love and joy and passion for the things of the kingdom of God. Because Jesus said, let the kingdom of God come on the earth. Hallelujah. And so change our thinking. Pray for our nation. Pray for our Queen. Pray for our government. Pray for our Prime Minister. And see God move and change. There is so much negativeness in our nation at this time against us. But let us declare, I will not accept it. I will declare the word of the Lord. That when we acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior, He will lift this nation up. He will raise us up. And we shall be a standard bearer for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And declare the word of God. In Jesus' mighty name. Change your thinking. Change your thought patterns. Get into the Word. Don't listen to the media. The only media you need to listen to is the Word of God. Praise and worship songs. Listen to this Word. And let this Word change you. And equip you for the things of the Kingdom of God. Amen. And amen.